Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Shares in Mossman Oil and Gas up today as the company released news of a resource at Coyote Wash. This is a best estimate resource of helium. Howard McLaughlin is the man in charge there. Howard, good to see you today.
Good to see you, Alistair.
So tell us about this update, this best estimate resource at Coyote Wash.
Well, we've known for some time that we had six drillable, very robust basement prospects. That was one of the reasons that we initially went into Coyote Wash, is because there was already a 3D seismic survey in place that we mapped, and then we reprocessed and we mapped again. So we're pretty happy with the size and of the prospects. What we didn't know at the time was the helium concentration of sagebrush, which we found out later. And so we moved forward quicker with sagebrush because we had that information in hand, and we got Sproule International to work up some resource numbers for us. Now that we have that information and the parameters they used in their analysis, many of those parameters we just moved across to Coyote Wash, and we worked up our own numbers based on those Sproule parameters and came up with a table of resource numbers. The next step, of course, is to engage Sproule to redo our numbers again, like they did in Sagebrush, and come up with their own estimates. But we believe, since we were using their numbers and that we also had a calibration well in Coyote Wash, it was abandoned, but it did test and flow gas, but they just didn't take any measurements in terms of its constituents. But we know that the Leadville up in the northern part of Coyote Wash, at least, is gas bearing, and it was non-flammable gas. So we're pretty confident that the gas will look broadly similar to sagebrush. The reservoir properties up there are a little bit better, but the thing is, it's only 5 miles away. It's very close. And when you look at the geological basin that we were working in at the time, it was massive. So five miles really doesn't make a whole lot of difference from that perspective.
So the read across from sagebrush is mentioned in the release. 2.7% helium, I believe, is a number that was talked about.
Yeah, that's the sagebrush number. That's our closest information that we have that we can validate. We have to reach out quite a long ways to find another tested gas sample. So our view is, since that is our closest control point, that we would just use that as our level of control for the helium percentage, which we actually use slightly less. It's a pretty conservative set of numbers in many respects, even though, you know, it looks pretty big, first glance. It is large, but it's across six major prospects. So, and it is a relatively conservative set of numbers we used.
I mean, I guess we should say what the number is. It's 1,000 million cubic feet, I think. I'm right in saying, give or take a cubic feet, foot here or there.
Yeah, it's 1 billion cubic feet. It's one BCF of recoverable helium. And the point is, it's not helium in place. It is recoverable once we separate it from the other gases. And that's assuming that all prospects are the same and they all have the same percentage of gas in them. But I think that's at this stage, with the information we have, that's pretty reliable way of calculating.
And so, for the benefit of any in the audience who are more used to natural gas numbers, is a billion cubic feet of helium a lot of helium?
Yeah, it's a considerable amount of helium. That's a huge potential resource. People will drill natural gas wells for BCF of gas. So when you talk about helium, which is hundreds of times more valuable, yeah, it's a big number.
And you mentioned the example that Sproule have set for you at Sagebrush. You followed that at Coyote Wash, broadly speaking. So you've come up with a conservative estimate, as you were saying. Does that mean there's upside here?
Yeah, I believe so. We use the more conservative porosity numbers. We have a better and more robust model for porosity in the Leadville, and we can demonstrate that in the well or the prospect that's closest to the Coyote Wash well, because it's got slightly better reservoir parameters than Sagebrush. But for the rest of them, we decided just to, for the most part, we only changed the size of the structure and the net pay that we had imagined in it, an average net pay. But most of the other, in fact, all the other parameters were much the same as how we used, how Sproule used them in Sagebrush.
So Sproule are going to come along now and look at Coyote Wash for you. What do you
Yeah.
expect in terms of the timing of their work there?
Well, I'll have to discuss that with them, but I don't think now that they've got their model in place for Sagebrush, all they really have to do is review the structures and the logs in the area. They've already reviewed a lot of them. In fact, this Coyote Wash well was one of the ones they did review when they did Sagebrush. So there's not, I don't think there's a whole lot of extra work involved, but I'm going to leave that up to them to decide how long it's going to take. But I would guess less than a month.
And so what will be the next steps for Mossman after that then? I mean, you've obviously got Sagebrush as well, but what are we looking at for the rest of 2025 and into 2026?
Well, there's a few things coming up. We are going to shoot the 3D seismic fairly quickly, and we should have the results of that in before Christmas. That'll tell us a lot more about Sagebrush, and it'll tell us more about the southern part of Coyote Wash. But also, it'll show us if there's any overlying oil plays over some of the helium structures we see. So that's quite important to us. We expect to have a few things come out of the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Once they're back to work, they're in a government shutdown, as you know, over here. So they're not really doing anything at the moment. But we hope that they will approve our Indian Minerals Agreement for Coyote Wash and the bonding and whatnot for Sagebrush. Those are all things that need to be done, and they're all that information is sitting on their desk waiting for their signature. So that will all happen, and then of course the Sproule study of Coyote Wash.
So plenty to look forward to as we go into the fourth quarter of 2025. Howard McLaughlin, thanks very much for talking us through all the developments at Mossman today.
Okay. Thanks, Alistair.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.